Christine McTavish, hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Now, when we talk about food security in Canada's north, what exactly are we talking about?
That's a really good question. Food security in general, we're talking about all people at all times having access to good, healthy food and the foods that they need and want to live a healthy life. When we talk about food security specifically in the north, it looks a little bit different than some other places in southern Canada, for example, because a lot of people talk about a dual food system. So we have the regular market food system that most people are used to, where food is sort of grown and packaged and shipped to suppliers and then to stores and then purchased at the store. But then we also have what's called a country food or a traditional food system, or in Nunatsiavut, people just call it their own food, which is food from the land, food that's harvested, that's hunted, that's gathered, like berries and mammals and different animals from the sea.
And when we hear about and sort of these discussions around food security, it's a big issue all across the Canadian North. But you're the food security coordinator at the Nunatsiavut government in the Atlantic Canadian province of Newfoundland and Labrador. Tell us just about your region in Nunatsiavut. What are the top two or three issues that affect food security in your region?
Well, for our region, we've actually just completed a pretty in-depth study around food security. We did a household survey that happened in 2014. And what was unique about that survey is that we got community-specific results around food security rates. And so where we have a general idea of rates of food security for the different regions across the Canadian North, we know that the levels of food security can vary widely from community to community. And that's exactly what we saw here in Nunatsiavut. So between the five communities, we have some communities that are at about 20% of households that are food insecure, but then we have all the way up to over 80% of households that are food insecure in some
communities. That's a stunning number.
It is, yeah. And the thing is, when you look at the regional number is 61% of households that are food insecure for all of Nunatsiavut. So that regional number really is hiding quite a variation between the communities. And so when we start to look at factors that are influencing food security or access to food, they can also vary very much by community. But when we're talking here, some of the biggest issues are transportation and sort of the cost of transporting food to the north and getting it into the stores, which is compounded by, you know, lack of competition, but also the stores that operate here aren't able to rely on sort of a lot of big bulk purchasing because they're servicing very small communities. Mm. So all these things kind of drive up the cost of operations, and energy is a lot higher. In terms of other factors that affect household access, things like poverty, lack of enough housing, and lack of ability to get out on the land with changing climate and changing animal patterns. So it really is a complex issue, and it's really difficult to identify, you know, one or two key factors. Everything's really interrelated.
And so tell us about why the government of Nunatsiavut decided to sort of participate in this hackathon.
Mm-hmm. Well, we were approached by the Gordon Foundation with this idea, and we sort of jumped on it right away, both our Department of Economic Development, but also our Department of Health and Social Development took a really big interest in this idea of bringing people together to talk about a common issue. For us, we saw it as sort of a win-win. You know, it's a win for all the participants. But for our region in particular, where we just had this research done and we're trying to move towards our own food security strategy for Nunatsiavut, any kind of discussion like this sort of elevates the profile of the issue within the region and beyond, but also helps to inform our own actions. You know, getting ideas from across the Canadian North is really beneficial.
And for someone like you that actually works in this area full time, is there anything that you heard or any of the discussions that made you think a bit differently about this issue?
For me, the biggest thing is probably building a network in terms of working on food security within this region. I'm the only person who's tasked with that file. And so being able to build a network of people who are working on the issue across the North is very, very beneficial. And having this little network of people that we know we can draw on each other and draw on each other's expertise. But certainly we heard about some really innovative programs taking place, either a few in the Western Arctic around a station or a room built specifically to address the processing of country food and turning it into secondary products. So giving people skills to preserve their country food so that it lasts throughout the year, and that was very interesting. And also an innovative way that in the Northwest Territories that people are using to be able to serve country food in institutions, because that is one of the big barriers that we run into that is linked to federal policy, is that when you're harvesting food from the land, it's not necessarily going through the traditional inspections that food in the South would go through. But that doesn't mean it isn't safe. You know, the harvesters have years and years of experience in doing so, and they know how to process it safely. But because it's not going through that inspection, sometimes there are rules that bar us from serving these meals in institutions such as daycares or healthcare facilities. So learning about some of the innovative ways that people are building systems to be able to do that is really interesting.
What sort of discussions do you think need to happen as we go ahead to sort of make real lasting progress on this issue?
You know, I'm continually shocked and surprised when I enter into a discussion and I hear from people, oh, I had no idea there was food insecurity in Canada. And you would be surprised how often I hear that. So I think first and foremost, I think when people think about food insecurity, they're thinking about hunger existing, you know, perhaps in the global south or in areas outside of Canada. So I think first and foremost, we need to, you know, educate the public and make people realize that this is an issue. It's taking place within our own country, within our own backyard, and it's an issue that really needs urgent attention. And that's sort of what we are trying to do with the research. You know, doing research around the rates of household food security doesn't give us that much information about causes and how to address them, but we know that those numbers have an impact when we report them. So I think that's part of the first step. I think we also need to address the complexity and really talk about this in a context of colonialism and ongoing colonization, really. So when we look at some of the root causes around lack of housing, around poverty, around some of the health discrepancies, this really does come back to, you know, colonial policies that took place over the last 100 years, and some of them that still do continue to take place today. So we need to elevate that conversation. And in terms of starting to address it, for me, I would like to see a shift towards talking about the right to food. And we need to recognize that in the north, in these really small areas, a market system isn't necessarily what makes most sense, a sort of a capitalistic market system. We don't have the market forces that are trying to drive down prices, because there often is only one store or maybe two. And so we need to start talking about a right to food. And what does that look like when we start saying that, you know, communities in the north have a right to food just as they do in the south, and maybe a system that is profit-driven isn't what makes most sense. And that is going to take a really big system shift when we think about programs like the Nutrition North program, which is a subsidy on food transportation. That subsidy is going directly to stores, and so it's going to corporations. And so that whole system, even though the subsidy is helping to bring food costs down slightly, that whole system is supporting and upholding a profit-driven model that fundamentally doesn't work and is fundamentally taking advantage of northern communities and making profit on some of the communities that are the most food insecure in the country. So it's a big shift, but the conversation needs to start.
Well, Christy McTavish, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.